page 10 in Masechta Megillah, Ois Ches. And we'll start from there. That's the part. So the pasuk says, everybody got it? Yeah. If I had thought of it a few weeks ago, then we would have started in Megillah Hatchila. But yeah. Okay. Okay, so the Mishnah mentions, of course, the halacha, the first parak begins with talking about the halachas of reading the Megillah, and so the Gemara says, when the pasuk says, l'kayim esi geres ha-purim ha-zois ha-shenis, that Esther and Mordechai wrote that everybody should confirm the second letter of Purim, so what do you mean, second letter? Amr of Yehuda Amr Shmuel, or of Shmuel by Yehuda, but Tachila Kavu'ur B'Shushan. Originally, they established the Yom Tov Purim only in Shushan. All of a sudden, Kavu'ur B'Chol Olam, later on, they established that was the second letter, that Purim should be kept everywhere in the world. So that's the Geras HaPurim HaZoris HaShemis. And the idea behind it would be preposterous, because in a way they were in greater danger in Shushan, what with having Haman and all of his sons and everyone over there, and so originally they thought that you only need in Shushan. Later on they added the rest of the world as well. It's interesting, actually, the Malbim on the Pesukim understands the other way around. He analyzes the Pesukim in the Megillah and learns the other way around, that originally the Yehudim Akrozim, the Jews in the unwalled cities, realized that they had been in danger, and they realized they have to celebrate a Yom Tov, but the Jews in Shushan didn't thought that we were actually in a better situation. They saw we were even given an extra day to wipe out our enemies, so they didn't realize the full scope of the danger to begin with, and therefore Mordechai has to explain in the later part of Perek Tes in the Megillah how you should realize you b'chalal don't understand all of the political machinations and everything that were going on over here, and you should realize in what danger you were as well, and therefore you need to celebrate the Yom Tov too. So the Gemara continues. Omer Reb Shmuel by Yitzchak, or Rab Shmuel by Yehuda, Shochol Ham Esther v'Chachamim Kvouni l'Doris. Esther sent a message to the Chachamim, establish the Yom Tov of mine for all generations. In other words, exactly that. She's saying, make this Yom Tov a Purim that it should be. Rashi says, make it the 14th and 15th should be a Yom Tov, and it should be a day when we read the Megillah, leave the shame that it should be that my name should be perpetuated through it. Shocholah, so they sent back to her, Kinat Ma'ureres Aleinu Ben Umas. Are you trying to make the Goyim jealous of us? That they're going to say, the Goyim are going to say, we're happy about their downfall? Shocholah, what? Classic Jewish response, yeah. Shochalahem, she sent back to them, not a problem. The whole story is already written and established in the chronicles, in the royal chronicles, the royal histories of Malchim Modir Poras. So therefore, there's no concern that they're going to think that we're doing anything wrong by celebrating it, because everybody knows already the history anyway. Marsha points out, you actually find this hinted at in the Pesukim over there. First, you have that Vayichdev Mordechai in Perek Tes Pasukov. Vayichdev Mordechai said, Borom Ha'ela, and he tells them that they should be keeping Purim, and they didn't want to accept it. And then a few Pesukim later, Vatichdev Esther and Hamalka, as called Toykev, that she wrote with all the power, Lakayimus, to get us a Purim Azoy Sashemus. And then it continues that they wrote Divrei Sholem Ve'emes, meaning she's saying, don't worry that it's going to cause friction with the Goyim, because it's all words of shalom and of truth, which are written in Sefer Divrei Hayom L'Machim Modei Afar, as it continues at the beginning of Perek Yud. So it's kind of hinted at in the Megillah, this whole progression of what happened over here. By the way, the Evan Ezra gives this as an explanation why there's no Shem Hashem in the Megillah. It's unique in the Kisrei HaKodesh, as we know. And he says because it was written in the Goyish Chronicles, and what would they do? They wouldn't write Hashem's name. They'd replace it with the name of one or another of their Getchkes, so therefore they didn't want that to begin with, and therefore they made sure it doesn't contain the Abish's name. Al-Pichsidus, there's the idea because of such a high level of nest that's beyond Hashem's name even. There's a sikha, actually, where the Rebbe talks about, and in Chedek Tes Zayin, why is it that Esther was the, so why is it Dafka that Esther is so concerned that there should be a Yom Tov of Purim with actual actions to do reading the Megillah and Mishnah B'Simcha and so on and so forth? Why isn't Mordechai so concerned about it? And the Rebbe develops the idea over there that Mordechai was more about the ruchnius of matters and Esther is more focusing on the gashnius of matters. Mordechai represents Urus, she represents Kalim, and therefore she wants that there should be actual Mice of a Poil to commemorate the Yom Tov, rather than if Mordechai had his way, there wouldn't necessarily have been that way. Samar Shah is saying that the psukim kvoni, you can see this whole kvoni l'dernis, this whole back and forth between her and the Chachamim is hinted at in the psukim at the end of the Megillah. That's the next point that we're going to talk about. First, we're talking about that she asked the Chachamim to establish Purim as a yomtiv b'chlal. And the Ibn Ezra, actually, in his Pirush over there, says that he learns the psukim to be saying that that the people they celebrated that year. Of course, they were very happy, but then afterwards they kind of slacked off on it for a while, and therefore Mordechai and Esther had to write to them again to urge them, you have to keep this yom tov for all time. And they write them, Divrei Shalom Ve'emes, don't be worried that you didn't keep it these last couple of years. We're not going to hold it against you. But and eventually it became established as a yom tov. Not so much they forgot, but they figured it was a one-time thing. They didn't think, as we see that the Chachamim themselves didn't think it's something that necessarily has to be commemorated every year from then on. Not so much, yeah, maybe they thought that it was natural, maybe who knows what. I mean, you know what, think of in our times, think of the enormous outpouring of simcha there was when Shalom Mordechai got out of jail, you know, and everybody's dancing in the 770. I remember at the time somebody writing, I'm sure by Lubavitcher, this is going to become a new Hey Tavis or something. Who remembers it now, a few years later, except for his immediate family, you know? Yeah, there's that too, yeah. Yeah. Anyway. Yeah. So the Gemara continues. Rav, Rav Hanina, Rav Yochanan, Rav Chaviva Masni. The following four, these four Chachamim all learned the following statement, and the Gemara interjects, or Bekulei Seder Moed, you should know, any place in Seder Moed, when we have these four Chachamim mentioned together, Kolki Hai Zuga, whenever we have these two pairs of Chachamim, there's a different version that has, instead of Rav Yochanan, in the second group, has instead Rav Yonasan. Anyway, so these four Chachamim said as follows. She told them, not only make the Yom Tov of Purim, write the whole story in a sefer that should be kept for all generations. Meaning, if it hadn't been for that, for example, there'd be a Yom Tov of Purim, but it'd be like the Yom Tov Chanukah, for example. You don't have, there's no official Megillah of Chanukah. You have, there's a Megillah Santiyochus that you can find in some Sidurim, and there are some Kehillahs that have the minute to read it, but it's not an official thing. So Purim could have been like that as well. So now she's saying, no, I want it to actually be written and made officially part of the Kisrei HaKodesh. So the Chachamim sent back to her, how we can't do that. You have a pasuk that says, Haloi chasavti l'chos sholishim, have I not written for you it three times, b'me'etzos v'das, with advice and with knowledge, that means sholishim v'loi rabim. That means that there can only be three times that it mentions about wiping out Amalek. There can't be a fourth. Now, you already have, and you have in Parshas B'Shalach, by Yavai Amalek, in Parshas Kiseitze, Zohar, in Sefer Shmuel, you have the story where Shaul was told to wipe out Amalek and didn't do the job properly. So it's already been written three times, and we have no right to add a fourth one to Tanakh. Ad Shemotzu L'Mikrim and Torah, until eventually they found a pasuk in Torah that indicates that they could do that. Shenemar, as it says, Hashem tells Moshe to tell Yeshua, "Ksoiv zois zikorin vaseker." Write this as a remembrance in the sefer. So, ksoiv zois, when it says write this, that means both of the things that it says in Chumash about it, Masha kosev kan uva mishnah Torah. What's written over here in Parshas B'Shalach, right after the war with Amalek, and what's written in Parshas Kiseitze is all considered part of one ksiva. It's all considered part of one writing, because after all, it is part of Chumash. Zikorin Mashakosav Nevi'im, when it says Zikorin refers to the second time when it says in Nevi'im, and therefore it says Baseper, that indicates Mashakosav Megillah, what's going to be written in the Megillah. So they do have a right, after all, to add it. Marsha brings over here from the Yerushalmi that there's also the word Zois refers to the Torah, as it says, Bezois HaTorah. Zikorin refers to the Nevi'im, and therefore Basefer refers to the Sforim. And then also it mentions over there they were concerned, what about the Nevi'im are not allowed to add anything of their own, a Novidashoy L'chadish Dover Me'ata, which the one actually mentions that point earlier in this Masechta. And then Hashem showed them that they found, they realized that this pasuk indicates that it does belong in Ksuvim as well. So, and Rav Shaul also adds, actually, Tosfos discusses also that now you have different opinions in the Gemara over here. There are opinions in the Sugya that this piece is taken from, whether in fact Megillas Esther is Nitna Likosim. There's an opinion of Shmuel in the Sugya that says that Shmuel holds Megillas Esther is Bechlal not given to be written, meaning it's not really part of Kisvei HaKodesh. Now, of course, according to him, you read it on Purim, but that would be more a Takana Derabanan later on that you should write it down. Shmuel, Mitzad Shmuel's own Svara, Tosfos explains, he would say that you would read it Balpeh on Purim. So the fact that they wrote it and made it part of Kisvei HaKodesh is the Eibishter had to open their eyes that they actually understood the Sposit Sog Zosikon Vasefer to be able to do that. So the Gemara says, so then the Gemara gets into the whole discussion. Bechlal, was Megillas Esther written with Ruach HaKodesh? It wasn't written with Ruach HaKodesh. It doesn't belong in Tanakh. So now the Gemara is going to bring several proofs that in fact it was. Before we get to that, actually, there's another sikha where the Rebbe talks about the deeper idea of what was going on over here, where first they were thinking not to write it, and then they were thinking to write it. And the idea is, at first, again, they thought that Parshas Beshalach and Parshas Kisetze are two different things, because after all, one is in the first four Chumashim, one is in Chumash Devarim, and you know, after all, Chumash Devarim is on a different level. It's Shchinim and Averus and Tegroinish on Moshe, unlike the other four, which are Hashem speaking, and Moshe not being involved at all, so therefore, originally, they were they count as two separate things, and therefore, then once you have the one on a lower level of Nevuah, and say for Shmuel, then that's it, you can't have any more. Then they realize that no, on the other hand, when it comes to the Ksiva, the fact is, the dinim of writing the Sefer Torah are exactly the same across all five Chumashim, even though the fifth Chumash is Shchinim and Averus Mitzvot Gronish HaMoshe, but in terms of the halachas of writing the Sefer Torah, it's no different than the other four. Therefore, in terms of that, in terms of ksoiv, it counts as the same thing, and therefore they still have a second and they have room for a third. And the Rebbe develops the idea of in the sikh also, it's in Chelek Chavav, that this also has to do with, you have the famous thing that the Rambam writes, that kol kisvei HaKodesh hasidim libotel, except for Chumash and the Megillas Esther. That's why, because the gedder of writing Megillas Esther, in that sense, we see from this Gemara, was similar to the way that was similar in a way to the way that Chumash was written. And therefore it's Einim B'Teh. So the Gemara says, Tanya, Rabbi Eliezer, Omer, Megillas Esther, Baruch HaKodesh, Nemra. How do we see that Megillas Esther was written with the Ruach HaKodesh? Shenema by Yomer Haman Belibay. The pasuk says when Achashverosh asks Haman Malaseis LeIsha Asher HaMelech Chofetz Bikorei, Haman says in his heart, "Who would the king want to honor more than me?" How are we supposed to know what Haman was thinking? Must be that they had Ruach HaKodesh. So now the point is, in other words, it means that the author of the Megillah, it means that the author is Mordechai and Esther, had Ruach HaKodesh. In fact, later on in the parak, it discusses Esther was one of the seven Nevi'ahs, Mordechai was one of the Nevi'im, so they had Nevuah, and therefore now they're able to have Ruach HaKodesh to know what Haman was thinking, and therefore they're able to write the Megillah with Ruach HaKodesh. Rabbi Akiva Omer Megillas Esther Baruch HaKodesh Nemra. Rabbi Akiva brings another proof. Shenema Batihi Esther Noises Chain Be'enekoreel. It says everybody who saw Esther in the palace found her graceful and beautiful. Again, how would you know what everybody's thinking? It must be Baruch HaKodesh. Rabbi Yosef Ben Damascus, or Rabbi Meir Omer Megillas Esther Baruch HaKodesh Nemra. Another proof. Shenema, when the plot of Bigson and Teresh, by Yevoda Adovel Mordechai, Mordechai found out about it by Yagad LeEsther Amalka and told Esther. Now, later on, the Gemara is going to point out Lav Davka, because you don't need Ruach HaKodesh for that. We're going to have the famous thing that they were Tausiim and they were speaking in their language and Mordechai understood it. But here the Gemara, here Rabbi Meir or Rabbi Yosef ben Damascus is saying no, that actually Mordechai found out about it through Ruach HaKodesh, not actually by eavesdropping on them. So therefore, that shows he had Ruach HaKodesh. Then Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yosef ben Damascus, so you have in between here and Ein Yaakov versus the printed Gemara, you have flipping around who said what. Megillas Esther, Baruch HaKodesh Nemer, Shenemer, because the pasuk is Rabbiza lo shocho es yadim. The Jews throughout the empire, nobody stretched out their hand to take any of the possessions of the Amalekim and the anti-Semites that they killed. Now, how would they possibly know throughout the entire empire that there's not one single person who took anything? Means they must have had Ruach HaKodesh. Amar of Yehuda, Amar Shmuel. Then Rabbi Yehuda says in the name of Shmuel. Now these are all Tanoim who are discussing this back and forth. So Shmuel says, Ihavoi Hosim, if I had been there when those Tanoim were discussing this, have Amilahu Milsadab Difa Midikulu. I would have told them a vote which is better than all of theirs, because as the Gemara is going to point out, there is a way of slogging up each of their proofs, whereas what Shmuel is going to say is a much stronger proof. Shenema, because the Pasuk says at the end of the Megillah, Kimuv Kiblu HaYehudim. The Jews accepted, the Jews fulfilled and accepted. Now, it doesn't just mean that they accepted to keep Purim, for one thing, because then it should have Kiblu first. You have to be Makabel something before you're Makayim. It means Kimu Lamaila, Masha Kiblu Lamata. It means that in Shemayim they accepted, they confirmed what the Jewish people had accepted below here, that Purim is going to be a Yom Tov and that you're going to have all the dinim of it. Now, how would they know what's going on in Shemayim without Ruach HaKodesh? In fact, Tosfos points out there are other drushes that we learn from that pasuk as well. In Shabbos, in Masechta Shabbos, Rava brings over there that you have the famous thing that since Kofal Leim Har Kedigis, since the Eibusha held Har Sinai over them, isn't there an argument that we accept the Torah under duress? But no, Hodu Kiblua, the Me'ach HaShredesh, Kimu Masha Kiblu Kvar, they reaccepted the Torah, they reconfirmed the Torah that they had accepted long before. And then you have also the Gemara in Shavuos mentions another point that it means that by Har Sinai, the Jewish people accepted all the Takonis of the Chachamim, even of later generations, including this, Mikra Megillah. So Tosfos wonders then in that case, what do you mean we can't schlug up Shmuel? Marashal says very simple. The fact is they're all shokul. There's no reason to say that one of those drushes is stronger than another. Therefore, you're very cool. And therefore, we can learn all three of them from the same words.
This one's not the most difficult.
No, because they would say, Kimu, the Kiblu, how you hold him. Because the point is also, though, that But the point is, on the other hand, the Marsha mentions in Shabbos, and other Mephoshim make the same point, that if it just meant that the Jewish people accepted and confirmed to keep Purim, then it would say in the order Kiblu and then Kimu. First you have to be Makabel, first you have to accept it. Only then can you confirm it. So therefore, Kimu over Kiblu means the other way around, means there were Makayim and Shemayim. So Omar Rava Lakulu Islu Pircha Bar Levar Midir Rehodam Shmuel Umid Shmuel De Leslay Pircha. As a matter of fact, all those ones from the various Tanoim you can slog up, except for Shmuel's you can. Let's go through them. Rabbi Lazer Svarim. The first one, Rabbi Yezer Svarim. What is Rabbi Yezer saying? That we learn from the fact that it says Vayema Homan Belibor. Well, it's a plain Svarim. Homan knows there's nobody as important in the kingdom to the king as him right then. Vahai Kiko Makish Tuba. That's why he's putting in so many details, the Vush Malchus and Bashir Nitan Kesa Malchus Bereshoi. But Omar, the fact that he's giving all those details, Adai to the Nafshik Omar. He figures it's logical when we see all those details that he's putting in, it's logical that he figured that all of this is going to be for him. In fact, Marsha points out, we know that first he mentions Keser Malchus Bereshoi, and then he sees that Achashverosh is upset, you're trying to take over my kingdom or something, so then he leaves out the Keser after that. All of that would be because he thought to begin with that all of this is for him, so therefore we don't need Ruach HaKodesh to realize that it's plain common sense. Next, Rav Akiva is proving from the fact that it says Vati Esther Noises Chen Beine Koreah. Why? Doma Rabbi Lazer. Maybe it means like what Rabbi Lazer says later in the Perek. Doma Malamet Shekolach Avecha Nidma Salay Kuumasei. This teaches us that every person who was there, Esther appeared to him like she was somebody from his nation. Now, Marashal points out, Mordechai had told her, don't tell what nation you're from. Mordechai figured that way nobody's going to like her. Everybody's going to figure she's some foreigner, she's not one of us, and they're not going to like her, and that way they'll dismiss her and send her home and she'll be safe. Meanwhile, it backfired because Fakert, everybody thought she was from his nation, and therefore everybody liked her all the more. But again, you could learn that with plain common sense, with plain svara. You don't need Ruach HaKodesh for that. V'hod Rav Meir, what about Rav Meir's proof from Vayivoda Abdav Lamordechai? Jomakir Rav Chiyah Ba'aba. Maybe what happened was like the way Rav Chiyah Ba'aba explains it. Jomakir Rav Chiyah Ba'aba explains it. Jomakir Rav Chiyah Ba'aba explains it. That they were two people from the country of Taushish, and they were speaking a new language, and since Mordechai was a member of the Sanhedrin, then he understood their language, and he was able to tell. So no Ruach HaKodesh involved, just that he was a good linguist. In fact, in the Psukim, in Ezra and Nehemiah, he's called Mordechai Bilshan, and the Gemara explains in Menachos, particularly, that he was called that because by a Lishni, not only he knew all the languages, he knew how to mix them. If a person was speaking in a mixture of one language and another, Mordechai would be able to disentangle it and understand what the person is saying. Next, Vahod Rav Yosi ben Dermaskis. Rav Yosi ben Dermaskis is proof from the fact that it says that they didn't take any of the spoils. Dermot Tristik each other. Very simple. They sent out messengers to find out what happened, and then they reported to the messengers that nobody had taken any of the biza, because Rashi says Shelo Yor Al HaMelech. They didn't want the king to be upset, that he shouldn't think that they got into this whole thing because they want the anti-Semites' money. Marsha points out, look, I mean, obviously, anyway, they needed messengers from the provinces in order to know how many people were killed. When it says in the Pesukim 75,000 people were killed, they need messengers to report the numbers. But still, the fact is, Marsha says that, fine, they did have permission. The fact is, though, yeah, of course they needed messengers for that. But the king had given them permission to take the spoils of Shlalom Lavois. They themselves held back from it because the Einam Melech should not be thorough, that the king shouldn't be jealous of the fact why they're taking all of the stuff that should go to the royal coffers. So now you could say, when it comes to the number of people, sure, then it's easy enough for a curl to come out. But to say that every single person disobeyed, in effect, what the king is saying, with Shlalom Lavois, and not one person is doing that, on the face of it, you wouldn't know it just with a curl, if not with Ruach HaKodesh. But the Gemara is saying, no, they could still be reported through a shliach. By the way, one idea of it was also that this way they wanted to make up for the fact Shaul had taken from the spoils of Amalek, so therefore in return for that, they're not taking from the spoils now. It's even brought that when it says Uvabiza Loy Sholchu Es Yada, Uvabiza Loy Sholchu Es, the initials of those words spell out, rearrange Shaul, representing that they're doing that in order to undo what Shaul had done in his time. Anyway, so again, no Ruach HaKodesh necessary, but the Shmuel, Vade, Lasle Pircha, but when it comes to Shmuel's Limud, there's definitely no Pircha, because yeah, how could they know what's going on in Shemayim if not so that they had Ruach HaKodesh? Omer Avina, V'temer of Nachme, it's called Hainu Da'amri Inchi, this is like the expression, people say, Tova Choda Pilpul Acharifa, one little sharp peppercorn is better, much more than a basketful of pumpkins. So the pumpkins are a lot bigger than the pepper, but still the one little sharp peppercorn outweighs all of them, the same way Shmuel, who's an Amorah and on a much lower level than the Tanoim, nevertheless his argument outweighs all of theirs. And the Gemara brings more of Yosef Amar Mehachar. Of Yosef says, here's another proof that Esther was written with the HaKodesh, because the pasuk says, "V'meyak Purim ha'elo lo yavrim v'teich ha'yehudim." These days of Purim will never go away from among the Jewish people. Now, how can you know that for thousands of years in the future it's not going to, except with Ruach HaKodesh? But Rav Nachman Yitzchak says, no, you have the continuation of that pasuk, the zichram la yosef mizaram. The memory of it will never cease from among the Jewish people's descendants. So Tosfos explains, because the proof lo yavim v'teich ha'yehudim is not just a strong proof. It's saying it's hoping that it'll never go away. The zichram la yosef mizaram is a stronger proof that, or actually Tosfos says that no, lo yavim v'teich ha'yehudim would mean for that generation. The people who lived through it in that time, yeah, they're never going to forget it. But that it should continue in future generations for all time? No, that for that you need Ruach HaKodesh. And Marsha explains also, it's being said as a promise, v'zichram lo yosef mizaram. It's not just a statement, it's also a promise that it will never cease, because you made Purim are never going to be bottled, and like we said before, the Rambam brings that Megillas Esther is never going to be bottled, so that requires Ruach HaKodesh. In connection with this whole business about whether Esther is considered part of Kisra HaKodesh, and therefore, now the usual expression in the Gemara, whether a Sefer is considered part of Kisra HaKodesh, is whether it's Metameh as a Yadayim. We know the Gemara mentions in Masechta Yadayim, the Mishnah mentions it in Masechta Yadayim, the Gemara discusses it in Masechta Shabbos, that they made 18 Gzeiros, the Yud Ches Dover, and one of them is that if a person touches Kisra HaKodesh with his bare hands, then his hands become a Sheni Vatoma. And the Gemara explains there, because they used to store food of Truma together with Kisra HaKodesh, figuring they're all Kodesh, but mice would come and eat the Truma, and then they damaged the Sfarim, so the Chacham found it necessary to make a Gzeira, that Kisra HaKodesh are Metame, food of Truma, and then they added to that Zeira that it's also Metame, a person's hands. So the usual expression to know is something part of Kisra HaKodesh isn't Metame as Yadayim. So Tanya, Rav Shimon Manasseh, I'm a Kehelos, ain't a Metame as Yadayim, Sefer Kehelos, Rav Shimon Manasseh says, is not Metame, a person's hands, because it's only Shloimeh's Chochma. It's not the Chochma of the Torah, Marashah explains, where there, that would be meant to be written down and be part of Kisra HaKodesh, it's only Shloimeh's Chochma. So it doesn't belong to Kisra HaKodesh. Amrulai, but the other Chachamim said, Chizugel Vad Omer, what do you mean? How could you say that's not part of Kisvah Kodesh? After all, is Kehelas the only thing of wisdom that Shlomo said? The pasuk says that Shlomo spoke 3,000 mashalim, and Kehelas already had, and Kehelas only has a tiny fraction of that. Over Omer, and you have another pasuk. So then Chassidus talks about, right, that he gave a marshal and then a marshal to explain the marshal and a marshal to explain that second marshal until he got it down all the way to the level. In one level, right. So Kehelas already said. So obviously, therefore, in other words, Shlomo obviously didn't write down everything he said. Whatever is written must have been what he wrote was only what is with Ruach HaKodesh. And whatever he hadn't said with Ruach HaKodesh, whatever was just his Chochma, he left unwritten. But Omer, and you have another pasuk, Al Toisp Al Devarav, where Shlomo HaMelech himself says in Mishlei, don't add to his words. Meaning, in other words, why can't you add to them? Because they were written with Ruach HaKodesh, and you can't add anything to them that was not written with Ruach HaKodesh. So the Gemara said, so therefore, so the Chacham said to Rav Shimon Manasseh, you see that Kehelas was written with Ruach HaKodesh. So Maiva Omer, why do you need the second pasuk? Because Chitema Meima Tova Omer, you could say, sure, Shlomo said a lot of things. He said a lot of Mishalim. He decided on his own what he was going to write and what he was not going to write. Not a question of what's with Ruach HaKodesh and what not. Maybe for whatever reason, he chose to write what he wrote in Kehelas and in Mishlei and in Shir HaShirim and not to write the others. Doesn't mean that these particular ones were with Ruach HaKodesh. Toshma, al tois bal devarav. Therefore, you have the second passage. Don't add to his words, showing clearly that we're talking about that it was said with Ruach HaKodesh, and therefore you can't add anything else. You can't think to say, well, I just discovered another one of Shlomo's Mesholim. Let me add those psukim to Kehelas or to Mishlei. No, you can't do that because they were written with Ruach HaKodesh. So we see that after all, they were written with Ruach HaKodesh, and they are in fact part of Kisvah HaKodesh. Yom Yom, yeah, I'll explain after. Yom Yom Mashiach Ha'Gola, Chos Adar Aleph. Even as the darkness of Golos is getting stronger and stronger, a Yid should not be nispoiled from it. On the contrary, he knows that the descent of Golos is a Yirida Tzoret Aliyah, so he's adding in his Avoida stronger and stronger, and adding in Ner Mitzvah Torah in order to transform the darkness of Golos. So on the contrary, the greater Yirida of the darkness of Golos brings to that greater Iloi, and the greater the darkness it shows, the greater is going to be the Iloi of Asid Lavoi. So when the darkness is redoubled, it shows that the Ur and the Gilu of Asid Lavoi is also going to be redoubled. A halacha, talking about halachas of food and various other malachas on Shabbos. So a woman is not allowed to express milk on Shabbos into a cup or whatever, or into a baby bottle or whatever to nurse her baby, but she can express a little bit in order that the baby can latch on, and also for whatever reason if the baby is not nursing and it's paining her. Where there's no sakonah and where there's no tzayda yaseda, then it would also be also. But again, where she's doing it in order to, so it's not quite so engorged and the baby can latch on, or where the baby is not nursing whatever and it's bothering her, then she's allowed to.